Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Tuesday, November 5th. I'm Lisa Music reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, KMUD News Director Lauren Schmidt spent the afternoon speaking with Humboldt County voters featured in the just-aired public affairs segment available on our archive. While networking with voters, she also spoke with the chairs for the Humboldt County Democrats and Republican Party of Humboldt and caught up with 2nd District Assemblymember candidate Chris Rogers. Stay tuned for those interviews and more coming right up. Though Humboldt County is historically a blue county, the area's Republicans are showing up for this election. Republican Party of Humboldt County Chair Susan Moxon said during an interview at the party's local headquarters on Election Day.
Hi, I'm Susan Moxon. I am the chairwoman of the Humboldt County Republican Party.
Humboldt County is kind of known for being purple, if you will.
Oh, I would say probably that's not the case. I think it's very blue. 60% of the registered voters are Democrats. We're supporting Trump, and we're supporting Chris Coulomb and Mike Greer and Steve Garvey. And so we've gotten a lot of people, a lot of volunteers to get out there and hang door hangers and get the word out. We've got observers right now that are trained and that are at the vote centers watching to make sure we have free and fair elections. The one observation I think that I find interesting is that all of our observers are saying that there are way more men in line to vote than there are women, which I find that interesting. And there's a lot of activity at the vote centers.
You know, how has this, election cycle been different for the local Republicans?
Oh, I think it's been different because Trump supporters are very passionate about Trump, and those people that don't like Trump are very passionate the other way. So it's probably going to be one of the most exciting elections in most of our lives. They're always exciting, but this one, there's a lot of emotion on both sides. So I would say that makes it a more interesting election than any we've had.
You know, the former president had a lot of concerns about election integrity that saw Joe Biden take the seat. Do you have those similar concerns for this election?
You know, I became involved 4 years ago because I was concerned about election integrity. And so that's my passion. I work very closely with the elections office here in Humboldt County. And I do believe we have free and fair elections here. We have observers watching to make sure that things are going right. And Humboldt County seems to be, the elections office here is amazing. They do it all right so that there's free and fair elections. He wants everybody to vote. Once Pablo Cervantes, he's big on everybody voting, and that's where it's at. We can only take care of Humboldt County. In the past, Democrats have cried foul with elections. And so I think that Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, Libertarian, we all want free and fair elections. We all want our vote to count. And that's the bottom line. It doesn't have to be a divisive issue. We all want election integrity.
Absolutely. You know, some of the local seats, right, whether it's supervisorial seats, we don't have a race this election, but the city council seats, you know, in Eureka, Arcata, while they're nonpartisan, we've seen the Democratic headquarters endorse candidates. Has the Republican headquarters made any local endorsements?
Not really, and for that very reason. Plus, we are really limited on the number of volunteers we have with the Humboldt Republican Party, so we really don't have the number of people that it would take to fully investigate all of the races in Humboldt County. So we have not made any endorsements on those.
Are you looking for volunteers and for other Republicans, you know, young and old, to get involved?
We actually have gained quite a few volunteers with this election, and we're hoping to keep those people involved throughout the next couple of years so that when the next election comes up, we have those people also. We've gained probably 35 or 40 volunteers through this election. So we plan on keeping in touch with them and making them still feel like they're important and they can help us out in the next elections.
Trump has kind of become like a polarizing figure. What do you say to folks that just maybe don't understand where Republicans are coming from with their support?
I think the media has been very instrumental in this polarization. If you look directly at the words that are said on both sides, that means something. But I have always said, and I stand by this wholeheartedly, you cannot go on what a candidate says. You have to look and see what they have done in the past and the kind of person they've been. And so if you just listen to the media you want to listen to, you're only going to hear the clips that they want to provide. swayed their way, and that goes both ways. And so you need to do your own research. You need to find out if that clip of Donald Trump saying something is his whole statement or whether that's just part of it. And the same with Kamala Harris. It's like, look at the whole sentence that she said, and what did she say, and make up your own mind. Just don't take the information from the media. I think that's caused a lot of this.
What else should the people of Humboldt County know?
I think everybody needs to get out and vote. And if you're not registered to vote, you can go to any vote center and register to vote today. And you can get be provided a provisional ballot, and you can vote today. And that will be counted as soon as your voter registration is verified. And you have till 8 p.m. today to do that.
Lauren Schmidt spoke with Mario Fernandez, chair for the Humboldt County Democrats and Eureka City Council member, on Election Day while he was at an event for 2nd District Assemblymember candidate Chris Rogers, hosted at Loose Bagels.
I'm Mario Fernandez. I'm the chair for the Humboldt County Democrats, and so I represent, well, the Democrats in our area. I also happen to be on City Council and represent Ward 3 from, is that Lunbar Hills up until about the edge of Del Norte Street and some other areas there along the alphabet.
And today's a big day. There's a City Council race in Eureka, Arcata, of course, Assembly, and for President. You know, how have the Humboldt Democrats prepared leading up for today?
I mean, it was a bit surprising because just like in previous years, there's kind of this slow burn, this build. And it's not that I believe that people were, I'm just trying to find the words here. I don't think they were turned off from the election, but it's like, okay, status quo, Joe Biden, let's move it forward. But as soon as he announced, I'm going to step back, here's who you should vote for with Kamala Harris, it's like, wow, that really lit the fire, that lit the fuse. And so looking at from about the 100-day mark, which is about when she started, to where we are now, it was definitely rebuilding our infrastructure, like almost from scratch post-COVID. Like even though we've done outreach, even though we've talked to folks, it was really people wanting signs, wanting all the ephemera that are associated with campaigns, and then they wanted to do something. So having people staff our office, which we haven't had happen really for about almost 4 years, it's like, wow, this is amazing. Let's get you in there. Let's get people connected. You see we have Katie Moulton here from Eureka City Council, current incumbent running, endorsed by the Humboldt County Democrats. Scott Bauer will probably be here when he can get away from his day job. And it's just assisting folks like this. And if it's not these two here in Eureka, it's the three that we've endorsed in Arcata. Sarah Schaefer, Stacey Atkins-Salazar, and Genevieve Cerna. So, I mean, we're excited. I'm excited for all the candidates.
Yeah. Okay, and we're here at Chris Rogers' meet and greet. Assemblymember Wood did not seek re-election. Does Chris Rogers have the full support from Humboldt Democrats?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, officially it comes from the state party, which they seem to just stay out of the race entirely this time. When it came to the primary, we had people who were very much behind Chris at the time, others who felt more of the fervor for Rusty. You know, it seems Chris here prevailed, and we're excited to have him. I'm excited. I feel that his outreach, his just the momentum that he's had in this district and the dedication he's shown prior to being elected, even as all part of the process. Lived here for a month, not here in Eureka, but in Arcata, just to get a feel. And I've heard rumor, I can't hold him to it yet, but he's, you know, talked about wanting to visit more during the time that he'll be elected. And so I'm excited for him to really grab on to what we have going on here and have a better understanding between what it's like being in Santa Rosa and being in a less urban area of California.
Question for you on the national stage. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of Democrats were feeling really torn. You know, you kind of mentioned that Joe Biden, people were saying, hey, please step down. We're ready for the new face of Democrats in our country. Yet folks are still torn over how Biden-Harris have handled the ongoing war in Gaza. Is that something you are hearing among local Democrats? You know, have people decided to not vote this year because of that? And what was some of the ripple effect from that?
I mean, I know that there's the uncommitted campaign, and that's one of the huge reasons that places like Michigan are still in play. And when I talk about the feelings that I have when it comes to our relationships in the Arab world, I have a clear bias. My partner's Arab, her family's Arab. They come from Palestine. And so the feelings I have about the way that the administration handles it, has handled it, is very poor, and it hurts each time I have to take into consideration how is this going to make us better when we move forward. And so it's difficult because I can't say resolutely where Kamala stands or where Tim Walz stands on peace in the Middle East. I would hope that they carry it forward in the same fashion that previous presidents have, like Clinton or Obama, that we make those improvements. And I'm not a big fan of incrementalism, but that's the system that we live with, and so that's the way that we have to go forward. And I can't think of anybody else locally who said absolutely not, I cannot. I think from what we've seen, at least from a party perspective, is that this is our best option, and this is what we're going to move with. I can say from, you know, having turned 40 this year, it's nice to see that we have a fresh face with Kamala, not just in terms of representation for people of color or women for that matter, but the fact that she was born in late 1964, and so that we have someone who is would be considered Gen X rather than a baby boomer. So it's at least a fresher perspective, a more robust perspective that we would have with her.
Anything else people of Humboldt and Mendocino should know?
I know that we are going to be having quite a few different election night watch parties tonight. So Arcata, north of 4th here in Eureka over at the Labor Temple for the Democrats. I think people are going to be excited. And so whether it's commiserating or joy tonight, at least we're going to be with each other. So I would encourage folks to come out and, you know, find friends and, you know, do what you can to keep things moving.
Yeah, where are the election parties if folks want to come celebrate?
Scott and Katie for Eureka are having theirs at north of 4th, just over, it's near 2nd and C. I believe the current incumbents for the Arcata City Council are having theirs at Septon Trio Winery in Arcata, and the Democrats are hosting theirs at the Labor Temple at 840 East Street tonight.
2nd District Assemblymember candidate Chris Rogers spoke with KMA News Director Lauren Schmidt in Eureka earlier today.
My name is Chris Rogers. I am running for the California State Assembly for District 2. Our district is the third largest in the state of California. It goes from Sonoma County all the way up the coast to Oregon. It includes five counties, Sonoma, Mendocino, Humboldt, Del Norte, and Trinity counties. Currently on the Santa Rosa City Council, have been on it for 8 years, and before that worked as senior staff for Senator Mike McGuire, as well as working for a green energy company working on public policy in 15 states.
Can you bring us back really quickly to the primary election? You were running against other Democrats. Folks didn't necessarily know how it was going to play out, and you were the top vote getter. If you just want to remind folks about that process and bringing us to where we are today.
Yeah, it was the most competitive primary that we've seen on the North Coast for the Assembly seat in its history. We actually had the highest amount of spending. Our campaign was outspent 7-1 in that race, but with a lot of local support, knocking on a lot of doors, we were able to prevail in that very crowded and very talented field. It's actually, for me, the second time I've had an election like that. When I first ran for city council in 2016, we had the most money ever spent in a city council race. A billionaire put in $300,000 against our campaign. We were able to outwalk it, knocking on doors, 20,000 doors, to be able to get elected. So it felt very much the same, even though the territory was bigger. But the way that you win is exactly the same. It's connecting with people about the issues that matter the most to them. It's having coffees with folks to talk about what they would like to see from their state government. We were able to do that enough in a very sprint of a local election to be able to here be in this runoff this November.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're doing here today. We're in front of Los Bagels in Eureka. I even heard that you briefly lived in Arcata just to really get a feel. Can you, you know, talk about your time connecting with folks here on the North Coast?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that that's the biggest concern for folks in this district is it's so big, it's so diverse, both geographically as well as different issues, that there is that concern that their voice isn't going to matter in Sacramento. And I feel like people have felt that over time, they feel like their voice hasn't really resonated in the halls in Sacramento. So after the primary, first thing that my wife and I did is we had a baby, our first child. He's now 5 months old. And we talked about it, that especially while she was on maternity leave and it made a lot of sense for our family, we rented a place in Humboldt County for a month just to get a better feel for the community, to have more opportunity to connect with folks about local issues, to make sure that they understood that Humboldt County, Del Norte, Trinity counties do matter to me, do matter in Sacramento, and that that voice would be reflected in the decisions that were being made.
And right now you're up against a Republican assembly member candidate, and just going by history, it is very, very likely you will be our next assembly representative. What is your tenure going to look like?
Well, the big things that I want to work on, there's really four issues that a lot of things fall into the categories for: poverty, children's issues, climate change, and health. And what we know is, especially on the North Coast, all of these have access issues, whether it's access to primary care physicians or specialists, whether it's access to transportation networks and local economic development, whether it's addressing sea level rise that we know is going to negatively impact Humboldt County worse than most places in the United States and most places in California, really being a voice to be able to air that and to make sure that we're delivering results for people here locally. I'm really excited by the opportunity to work with Senator Mike McGuire, who I used to, as I mentioned, was senior staff for him in the state Senate, to really push forward policy that's going to matter for the folks that live here and to be present. People will see me. We're up here every single week making sure that people have an opportunity to talk with their government and to make sure that the decisions that are being made that they're a part of.
What did I miss over that you want to let folks know in a closing statement?
Just how important this election is, not just for our district, but really nationally. There is a lot of things that we need to change after this election to make sure that folks feel like their representative are representing them, and people need to be engaged on it. And I know that there's compassion fatigue and people are exhausted by the hamster wheel that the last 8 years have been. There's an opportunity after this for us to pivot into a way where people feel like they have more of an impact on the decisions that are being made.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Mike Greer, running against Rogers for the assembly seat, will join the KMUN News team for live election coverage later tonight. Turning to Mendocino, on Election Day in Mendocino County, trust and community are top of mind as local Republicans express trust in local elections, while local Democrats say there is work yet to do. KZYX's Elise Cox reports.
Today marks the last day of a highly contentious presidential campaign. As of 8 o'clock tonight, it will be all over but the counting. Around the country, election officials have come under scrutiny, particularly from supporters of Donald Trump, who continue to push debunked claims of voter fraud. And that makes the stance taken by the local Mendocino County Republican Party newsworthy.
Okay, I have absolutely no worries about how we're voting here in Mendocino. We have things like election integrity classes that we go to and things like that. That's just for our general knowledge. But we know that we're not supposed to do anything or say anything, and we want people to get out and vote. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or whatever. If you need a ride to the polls, call me on the phone and I'll be there to take you.
Linda Lima is co-chair of the Mendocino County Republican Central Committee. And she is concerned about voter fraud in other areas of the country. But here, there is trust and patience with the process that continues to have glitches.
Also, I'd like to mention that Katrina, who is our she's our Mendocino County clerk and recorder. She is a wonderful, wonderful lady. She's been here to Fort Bragg a half a dozen times at least, explaining the procedures that she goes through. And trains us and tells us what we can do and what we can't do when we walk into the election poll.
Charlene McAllister, president of the League of Women Voters of Mendocino County, agrees with Lima.
I think we're very lucky in our county. As a small county, we have a lot more control over what goes on, and I think we know each other a lot better. We have the personal connections that allow us to pick up the phone and call someone and have a better understanding. I know it's got to be very difficult in places like Los Angeles where it's a lot further away. You don't have that personal connection. So you have a lack of trust. And there's a lot of disinformation that's going around right now, which is not very helpful at all. It makes it very difficult.
Karen Bowers, co-chair of the Coast Democratic Club, also has faith in the strength of our communal bonds. But she notes that the ongoing glitches, like the ballot mix-up during the March primary, and proofreading errors in the current election can take a toll on voter turnout and need to be addressed.
Certainly, the last election that we had, the primary in March, we had several ballot issues, which was one, the first ballots that came out for the primary were labeled Republican. Everybody got a Republican ballot. My mother, who's 95 years old, got scared. She didn't know what had happened. So, of course, we investigated and found out this was a major error. So then that had to be rectified, which was, yet it wasn't fully rectified because we had done redistricting in the county for the census. And certain of the areas in the supervisorial districts were not put into the right districts for the ballot. So several people had to get yet a third ballot to rectify that situation. Quite frankly, I felt like this was the foundations for why people, not necessarily in this county, but all around, have a kind of built-in distrust now for the way elections are being operated, which is being totally eroded, I think, in terms of what's going on nationally in the Trump MAGA movement, shall we say.
And what would build back that trust for you?
Well, I would like to see that this particular election in this county, for example, goes smoothly, that people were able to check that their ballot was, in fact, gotten to the office and that the vote was counted.
Bowers also believes that we need a lot more voter education, and she's not alone. Here's Peter McNamee with the Grassroots Institute.
What we've been made aware of for some time is a growing sense in our community that the system is broken. And much of that is driven by a national narrative that everyone is aware of. And we felt that whether you agree with that position or not, the Institute itself felt that it was important to provide a forum for people to come together in the community and talk about their concerns and educate themselves about what they were hearing, and to try to help them to sort through what is fact and what is fiction. And so we've held three workshops, and we intend to continue holding these workshops through February after the president for the next term is seated.
The next workshop is Sunday, November 10th from 3 to 5 p.m. You can find more information about it on our website at kzyx.org. For KZYX News, I'm Elise Cox.
Yesterday, Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump made final pitches to voters in crucial Pennsylvania swing state. Our partners at KPFA bring you this report.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump made their final pitches to voters in the same part of Pennsylvania at roughly the same time, spending the last full day of the presidential campaign in a state that could be decisive. Both candidates focused on Pennsylvania's southeastern region, with Trump speaking in Reading, about 30 miles from Allentown, where Harris held her own event half an hour later. Trump used much of his speech to discuss what he called the dangers of immigrants and pledged to use the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to crack down on and deport undocumented immigrants. He also promised to execute any immigrant who kills an American citizen or law enforcement officer. He opened by painting a bleak picture of America under Democratic leadership, promising change.
With your vote tomorrow, I will end inflation. I will stop the invasion of criminals coming into our country. And I will bring back the American dream. You're going to have the American dream back. What a shame what they've done to our country. They have destroyed our country, but we're going to get it back and fast. We're a nation in decline, but that will not be long, believe me. And after 4 years of economic suffering, we will create the greatest economic boom the world has ever seen. They're all coming back. All those companies that left us with the jobs, they're all coming back.
Meanwhile, in Allentown, a majority Latino city, Harris's rally was opened by Latino rapper Fat Joe. Harris did not refer to Trump by name, instead speaking of an opponent who is, quote, stewing over an enemies list.
We are fighting for a democracy right now. And we love our democracy, and democracy can be a bit complicated sometimes. But that's okay. We are fighting for a democracy, which is why I say that I am not going to be a leader who thinks that people who disagree with me should be put in jail, that they are the enemy. I'll give them a seat at the table, because that's what real leaders do, and that's what strong leaders do.
Harris ultimately scheduled 5 events in Pennsylvania today, while Trump held 2. Both candidates are making a strong push to win the state, as its 19 electoral votes are the largest prize among swing states expected to determine the outcome of the Electoral College. Meanwhile, with the heightened attention this year's election has received, a federal command center has been deployed that will quickly respond to any reports of voting security issues. Jackie Quinn reports.
Elections officials across the country are working to reassure voters their ballots are safe, and the FBI is also gearing up to handle any complaints.
Criminal threats, such as threats to election workers, foreign malign influence, cyber threats, and acts of domestic violence.
FBI Deputy Assistant Director James Barnicle says a new command center is running 24/7 for the next week or so to make sure agents can quickly respond to any threats to voters, campaign workers, or voter integrity.
The criminal division, the counterintelligence division, the cyber division, the Weapons of Mass Destruction Division.
With the Republican National Committee posting thousands of poll monitors, there are concerns of potential harassment of voters and poll workers. Some polling stations have added panic buttons and bulletproof glass. I'm Jackie Quinn.
More than 4,000 mail ballot applications have been challenged across 14 Pennsylvania counties. That leaves election officials to decide eligibility during hearings that will extend well past Election Day. The challenges involve people living overseas as well as those who may have moved. So far, York and Chester counties have considered the claims and dismissed them, preserving those voters' eligibility. The American Civil Liberties Union of Pennsylvania says filling out a change of address form does not necessarily mean a voter has moved out of the state permanently. Those forms can also be used to get mail forwarded. The effort follows a federal judge's ruling last week to throw out a lawsuit by 6 Republican members of Congress seeking to make Pennsylvania's election officials institute new checks confirming military and overseas voters' eligibility and identity. The Federal Reserve is set to meet this week in Washington with the 2nd interest rate cut this year likely to come. That's because inflation continues to cool. The Fed's future actions, though, will become more unsettled once a new president and Congress take office in January, particularly if Donald Trump were to win the White House again. Economists say Trump's proposals to impose high tariffs on all imports and launch mass deportations of unauthorized immigrants and his threat to intrude on the Fed's normally independent rate decisions could send inflation surging.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Katie Phillips, and thanks to our reporter, Elise Cox, and the KPFA team. KMUD News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you can see related stories, links, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Stay tuned. Our live election coverage will begin at 7 p.m. tonight. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, I'm Lisa Music.